All right. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we get to come together again. Lord, tonight, we just ask that your Holy Spirit guide us into whatever it is that you want us to speak about, Lord. Whatever it is that you want us to talk about. And Lord, when we do talk about it, Lord, that you give us the answers. I want you to just guide the whole thing, because, Lord, when we try to guide it, it just gets kind of funky sometimes. But when you guide it, everything just falls into place, Lord. Everybody just seems to want to help out. You know, Lord, I got a part, they got a part, and everybody's got a part in this kingdom. And, Lord, we just thank you that they shine in their part. And, Father, we praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's not going to be an exception, that we just give it to you, Holy Spirit. And we thank you for taking over. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to orchestrate this whole thing tonight in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just relinquish the reins to you and allow you to do what it is that you need done in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for the deliverances. And thank you, Lord, for being our God. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests? Hey, Missy. You got a prayer request, or are you just waving hi? Okay, go ahead.
Both.
Okay.
Oh my! I just got back yesterday. Spent an extra day with my family. I got an earful yesterday.
It's about time.
Yeah, well, that dry of it is my son Matt and daughter-in-law to be are supposed to get married July 14th.
Okay.
And they've been fighting really bad for a while now. And I didn't know it. Nobody's said anything to me. And even before they got engaged, my daughter-in-law, Brooke, asked Matt, you know, are you sure Megan's the right one, or are you just settling? Anyway, and he said that he was sure, but so I know my mom got really upset when she saw how just a tidbit of how they were getting along, and she was angry about it. So I'm concerned, and I just spoke to my boy's father about it. And even before I spoke to him, I was of the conclusion that anybody that tries to say anything to him is just going to make them dig their heels in more. And, you know, so I just want everybody to pray and agree with me that if this is
Did y'all see her disappear?
Lost her.
I thought she disappeared. She been translated?
Uh-uh.
Uh-oh. My. Okay. Well. Good gracious. Let me text her and tell her she's not talking to anybody. Anybody else while we're waiting on Missy to come? Oh, there she got retranslated. Thank you, Jesus. She's back.
Yeah, I don't know if the Wi-Fi temporarily went out and I lost her or what. but anyway, where was I at when it went out?
Your mother was disturbed, and I don't know.
Yeah, well, somewhere along that, you know, me talking to him wouldn't do any good. I just feel like the Lord's saying, just pray about it. And I just want everybody to agree with me that that if this is not what the Lord wants, if this is not something he plans on using, because I'm like, you know, Lord, whatever it takes to get my boys in the kingdom, whatever it is, if that means a bad marriage, then so be it. Whatever, you know, it takes for their spouses, you know, whatever, to bring them to the ends of their self. I mean, because this is his second marriage. He's about ready to start here. And so anyway, so Father, I just ask you for your mercy and your grace, Lord, in this whole situation, Lord. And I just ask you to intervene, Lord. If this is not what you want for Matt and Megan, Lord, I pray that if it's not, that you do something, whether put it in their hearts, one or the other, or both of them, to just call it off, Lord. And we just come against principalities and rulers of darkness that would try and interfere with what you want, Lord. And we just command the principalities and rulers of darkness, we bind them up in the name of Jesus. They're not forbidden to hinder what your will is, Lord. And we just cast down every attempt to thwart what your will is, in Jesus' name. And I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for this situation, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to use this for Matt and Megan to bring them into the kingdom, either together or separately, however, Lord. And I just rebuke spirits of rejection. It's on both of them. And I bind you up in the name of Jesus. You're forbidden. You're forbidden to keep either one of them from doing what the Lord wants, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Are either one of them saved?
No.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask that you use this time before they get married to bring them both to repentance, Father. And we grant repentance to them, Lord, and drag them into the kingdom in a mighty way, Lord. Take them to the place to where they'll call out to you, Lord. We thank you for the trials that you're putting them in right now. And, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're going to place it in their hearts that they can't make it without you. There ain't no way they can make it, not with the starting out like this. And, Lord, we thank you that you're going to save them both, bring them into the kingdom, and they're going to be humbled by whatever it is that you do with them, Lord, before they get married, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that Matt and Megan is going to come into the kingdom in a mighty way and bring up their family in that way, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right, everybody believe? I believe. I believe. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Look for it, Missy, because it's going to happen. You look at him, you just grin at him. I know, you can just say in your mind, I know what's fixing to happen to you, Matt. I know you fixing to hit them knees, boy. I know it's coming. I'm getting ready for it. I'm just a grinning like an old bear eating honey. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right.
Amen.
Amen. I believe it. All right, anybody else? Got a prayer request? Or a praise report. I'm back in Tennessee, if y'all hadn't noticed. I'm back in my old room again. Praise God. I tell you what, it rained all the way from Arkansas to here. All the way. And then I get here and it rained about 15 minutes and shut it off. That's just all right. That's okay. Thank you, Lord. You know, I've had some supernatural peace put in my heart here in the last today. This morning I got up. It was good. It was good. Awesome. So I know God's just doing stuff. He's just doing things. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe.
Well, I got a praise report, and I guess I want to confess some things and pray for myself. But, yeah, that's like – like you said last Tuesday, you had a heck of a week last week, to put it lightly, and a lot of trials and troubles. And man, I think ever since Willie and everybody kind of talked about the spirit of rejection, I've had a fair share of trials lately. So I, you know, the Lord even delivered me, I believe. Yeah, last Tuesday, I finally, you know, he delivered me and delivered me of those other things. But, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, it was really nothing like I haven't dealt with before. You know, when you're getting cleaned up, you know, you go through many trials, many battles, many, you know, troubles and all that. But, yeah, I really believe I was delivered, you know, this past Tuesday of a spirit of rejection and, you know, offense. And like you prayed for me to, you know, spirits of judgment and criticism, I found myself tripped up again this morning. I want to confess, I kind of, you know, my boss wasn't there today, and that's a struggle. I mean, we've been through a lot in the last almost 3 years since I've started the job I'm at. And just a lot of messed up stuff, or just, you know, I mean, I'm starting to realize, you know, it's, you know, a lot of you guys have been a good example, or, you know, a good testimony to me on what it means to treat the lost. You know, I guess I hear various testimonies, or I just see, you know, the love come from you and just the grace. I mean, this is a great, great group of people, you know, not just down in Tennessee, but I think UBM in general, it's really helped me to understand that. And I just look at it, I'm like, wow, how's that? I mean, it just like blew my mind. I think when I first realized, I'm like, you treat the lost with love and respect? What are you talking about? You know, I'm so used to all those Pharisees out there who I've run into who just kind of, you know, thumb your nose at the lost. You know, they're lost. They're going to hell. Don't even worry about them. But I think it really was a real eye opener when I first realized it. And I just, you know, I mean, I confess today, to some coworkers, I got tripped up again. I mean, you know, stuff I've, you know, dealt with in the past, like just being judgmental and critical of a boss who at the time, you know, did a lot of stuff to, you know, wrong me. Probably didn't even know any better or whatever. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter what his intentions were, but he's lost, you know, and I have forgiven him. But I need to – I was talking to his boss briefly today, you know, and I just kind of thought, hey, it's good to just bring it in the light. You know, I thought I better bring it in the light and, you know, I mean – let it out, because you know I don't want to keep it inside and let the enemy continue to use it against me. And I want to confess, I did trip up again today. You know, I was critical and judgmental, but I think more critical just of what he's done and what he continues to do. I mean, and so I thought I'd pray for myself there, you know. But yeah, lately I'm starting to see some breakthroughs, you know. Definitely I'm definitely grateful, and I, you know, definitely glad God is working in my life, you know. I mean, and he is continuing to. I've seen since I've come back and been a part of UBM, I've seen some pretty major breakthroughs, you know. It just seemed like like you said, God is doing a work, and it's just, you know, I see how quicker it's been lately since I've been here, and I thought, wow, you know, God is really working here. You know, he is working with us all. And I never thought he would work that fast, you know, but like the times we're in, I mean, makes sense why he's, you know, doing a quick work. So, but yeah, I just want y'all to agree with me, you know, pray for, you know, just grace that I could, you know, begin to overcome this and begin to just love, you know, and I mean, not so much brethren, you know, brothers and sisters in the Christ, but just the lost, really have a heart for them. And, see him the way that Christ does, you know. So, Father, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for this fellowship, Lord, and just these people. I thank you for the love that you've manifested in them. And, you know, it's always on display. I mean, you know, it just comes natural because you put it in them, Lord. You have made them, you know, I mean, to be loving people. And I thank you for that great example in this little ministry here at UBM, that, you know, your love shines through your people here. And I thank you that, Lord, it has been quite a testimony to me. It is, you know, convicting, of course, but I thank you for it most of all. And Lord, I thank you for just the, you know, teaching me lately, giving me grace, or not giving up on me. I thank you for all the deliverance you've given me lately. And Lord, I ask that I would begin to really, truly have a heart for the lost people around me. You know, I mean, it seems like it just comes and goes. You know, one moment I love them, but then they get on my nerves or they do something and I forget, you know, to give them grace, to love them, you know, to be long suffering with them, Lord, like you are with them and like you are with me, you know, and it's helped me just to see them the way that you do, realize that they're lost and they don't know any better. You know, they're in bondage to their sin. Lord, help me to not, you know, forget that, but just to really, truly realize that. And, you know, I believe through that, Lord, you will, you know, love through me. Continue to deliver me. Thank you for all the deliverance. And thank you that, you know, by faith I could stand and say, yes, I am delivered of these things. I'm not an angry. I'm not a judgmental. I'm not a critical person anymore. That was my old life. And, Lord, I've been made new in you. I thank you for that. And I just pray, Lord, for the grace. You know, I pray for the just all the grace, you know, from you to walk this out, you know, to realize, you know, the way I need to act to the lost world out there, you know, because as David said recently, I think in his message, you're probably the only Jesus that people will see. And that's a pretty convicting statement for me. You know, I don't think many have seen Jesus in me, or some people have, but not all the time. So Lord, I pray that you would just begin to teach me, begin to manifest in me, and, you know, perfect me in this area, just to love the lost, to never be critical towards them, to never be judgmental, but just to love them and to give them grace and to be long suffering with them. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for the work you've done in Joe, Lord. We already see a lot of difference in him. And Father, we just praise you that you humbled him and just place it in his heart to know that all of these people that he's criticized in the past are brought to him for one reason, and that's to get rid of this stuff. And now he's overcome it. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that now he sees people in a different light. You said to know no man after the flesh, Father, and I thank you for it, Father, that he's starting to look and see the love of Christ flowing through his eyes. Lord, I ask that you fill him up with your Holy Spirit. That's love in itself. And Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for that overcoming work you're doing in Joe. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. God. Thank you.
All right. Amen. Bless you, brother.
Amen. You too. God bless.
All right. All right, Wade, go ahead, brother.
But that wasn't it.
Wait a minute. Well, I just now unmuted you. Go ahead.
I'm in need of having stomach cramps in the healed of stomach cramps.
Okay. You ready?
Yes.
Okay, in the name of Jesus, right now, we command those stomach cramps to stop. In Jesus' name, you cease your activity against Wade right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that he's already healed at the cross in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Amen, Wade.
Amen.
All right, what else?
Well, just thanking God that he makes us new every morning.
Amen, brother. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. All the way down there in Lafayette, Louisiana. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father, for what you're doing in Wade and Jeanette both. All right. Okie doke. Anybody else? Okay, Missy, go ahead.
I don't have a prayer request, but I have a little praise report testimony. I was fighting a headache all day today and, you know, learning to thank the Lord, you know. And but anyway, Merle and I went to get ice cream, and right after we got there and ordered our ice cream or whatever, it's like all of a sudden it just like I felt this release, and it was like, I never had a headache go that quick. It was like, wow, thank you, Lord. So, yeah, it was like, all of a sudden, I just, like I said, I felt this release, and I could feel a little residual from it, but it wasn't really in my head. It was just some muscle tightness a little bit, yeah, but it was gone. So, thank you, Lord.
Amen. So the Lord and ice cream got rid of the headache. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. All right. Okay, anyone else? Praise report or a testimony. I've got a little testimony. I just got off the phone with Ashley, my daughter-in-law, and she's coming back up here tomorrow to get the rest of her stuff. But she's going to spend the night so that we can go up to Indian Boundary Lake and get baptized tomorrow. So we're going to do that. It's going to be awesome. And now Blake had said that he was coming with her. That's my other grandson. He's coming with her. And he wanted to get baptized again. So we'll see how that works out. So praise God. You know, all things work together for the good to those who love the Lord, right? Amen. And I'll tell you another little testimony, too. My youngest daughter, who barely speaks to me, told me the other day that she's got two sons, 4 and 2. And she hadn't allowed me to see him much. But she called me and she said, do you want to come get the boys early today? This is Friday. Yesterday. And I said, sure. I said, you want me to come get them about 2? She said, no, why don't you come get them about 11:30, about lunch, you know. And then she called back and told Jeanette. She said, well, why don't y'all just keep them all night long? I said, no, I ain't going to do that. I'm not going to keep them all night long. We'll keep until they get, you know, on my nerves, and then you can have them back. But we just had a blast. It was Ashley's youngest daughter, Abigail's, birthday party. We had it at the house, and I took and hooked my little lawn tractor up to the wagon and got all the kids in the wagon and pulled them around the yard. You know, we got a big 2-acre yard there, and we just pulled them around. I've got a great big old truck tire up for made into a swing, and I got them all on that and swing them, you know. Boy, they just had a blast. We just had a blast yesterday. It started raining, but we were able to stay outside for a couple of hours and just had a grand time. So I praise God for that. Thank you, Lord. So my daughter has opened up to me again. And she used to be one of my closest ones. She'd always, until I came to Tennessee. But anyway, everything's working out. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Okay. All right. I want to share something with you right quick. I wish Sharon was on here. Where's Leah?
Michael, he might be practicing with Dawn. They practice on Thursday nights.
Oh, they do?
For Friday.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. Let's see. Anybody got anything they'd like to? Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
Well, I got a bit of a praise report. I just on my way home from work today, I was waiting at the bus stop, and this gentleman comes over, and sits down, and then he starts criticizing the way everyone voted in Ontario because we changed our premier of Ontario, and I just sort of avoided the conversation right away. Because he's speaking ill of another person, and of the new premier that we have here in Ontario, And I just found that it was a factious spirit that I was coming against. It's a worldly factious spirit, because evidently this guy wouldn't be a saved person. So even amongst the worldly, the people like to speak ill of a leader. You know, you're supposed to honor all men, love the brethren, fear God, honor the king, which would be the government. And that seems to be a rampant thing now. I know in the United States, but it's very, very huge here in Canada too now. And like even with some of the conflicts that Canada, the Canadian leader and the American leader are having, you're still not supposed to pick sides or involve yourself into something like that, because we have a different citizenship. We have the kingdom, and I just thank the Lord that He made me recognize right away what this guy was getting into, and I just stopped it there and didn't talk. And it ended up that one of the other students that was waiting at the bus stop, he sort of turned and motioned the conversation toward him and left me out of it. And that I found was really neat, because there was a time where I probably may have said a comment, you know, and that would have brought me into that. And I didn't want to have anything to do with that kind of faction and that kind of conversation. So thank you, God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, you're right. We ought to just keep our mouth shut if we can't say it. That's what my mama always told me. Just keep your mouth shut, Michael, if you can't say something good about somebody. I wonder, who is that? That's Judy. Who is that coughing? Oh, that was Sue. Yeah, Judy's getting, she's quick, wasn't she? That was Sue. Mm-mm, that was Sue. That wasn't me. Okay. All right. Praise God. Listen to what Marlon Carruthers says in this book, Bringing Heaven into Hell. He said, nowhere is the damage of criticism as obvious as in millions of homes that have been turned into disaster areas by ugly words and attitudes. We seem to hurt most the ones we claim to love. Every day I hear from people who want to tell me what's wrong with the other members of their family. My answer is, God wants to heal your family, and He can start with you if you're willing to stop criticizing and start being thankful for your family the way it is. A lot of time we don't want to hear that right there, do we? No, let me tell you about my family, you know. That's what we want. Let me tell you about this one over here or that one over there. That's probably the best advice that anyone could get that's a child of God. God wants to heal your family. God wants to heal your attitude or with the people around you. God can start with you if you are willing to stop criticizing and start being thankful for your family the way it is. And that's what we do. Thank you, Lord, that my wife is like she is. Thank you, Lord, that she pushes my button. She knows, no, you're not supposed to say that. Thank you, Lord, that she is like she is, because it helps me to mature. Praise you, Father, for all the people that you put around me that push my button, because I don't want that button to be obvious anymore. I just want to be dead as an old dead fish. Amen. So that's pretty good words. Has anybody got any better ones than that? Okay, Judy, you and Sue got something you want to share? Sue does.
Okay.
All right.
I just got, you know, Bill and Lisa.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Bill and Lisa have custody of Victoria right now. That's my granddaughter. Mm-hmm. And Bill's not the father, and Lisa's not the mother. But my daughter was married to Bill, and that's why she's divorced from him. But that's why they have custody of Victoria right now, because the youth services put her in their charge. And anyway, they're having problems. They just texted me just a couple minutes ago. It says they're under a spiritual attack. We've been praying for guidance from God. Troy's being very mean spirited. We were praying against the spirit and asking God's guidance for the job that he has given us. The more we prayed, the more agitated she got, and then she had a nosebleed. So, Lord, I just lift up this whole situation to you. I thank you, Father, that you have given, that they were obedient to you to take Tori in. I thank you, Father, that you're going to give them that guidance. They desire that guidance from you to know how to take care of Victoria in this situation. Lord, you know she's been through an awful lot, and I know there's a spirit of rejection that's been hovering over her. I bind up that evil spirit of rejection. I bind up all the evil spirits that would try to use her against herself and others. I command all those evil spirits to cease her activities on her. And I thank you, Father, that you're gonna give them the guidance and the wisdom that they need to help her and to bring healing to her over all the things that she's gone through ever since I even left. But anyway, Lord, thank you, Father, for helping them in Jesus' name. And thank you, Father, for stopping the nosebleed.
Amen. Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. Okay. Anything else? All right. Okay.
Brother Michael?
Yes, sir.
I'm just thinking about the last couple of studies I've been talking about criticizing people and things like that. And I heard a long time ago, it really helped me, that you won't speak against what you sow into, whether it's given to a ministry or praying for people who, you know, need to grow up in the Lord and they're not growing fast enough for you. You decide to quit using your tongue to break them down, and you start edifying them in the spirit and having eyes of faith that see them how they're going to be when they're walking with the Lord and being kingdom soldiers. And it just helped me pretty much break out of that, as far as like, if I didn't like something about a ministry, or if there was something that somebody else would say. You know, I was living in Tulsa, Oklahoma at the time, so there was every kind of, you know, every voice you could hear was coming around there. But I guess that one little nugget of wisdom really helped me a lot back then.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's true. And, you know, a lot of people have that problem. They don't realize. I had that problem. Still do at times. I catch myself doing that. Even thoughts, you know. Listen to what he says. He says, our critical attitude must be seen as the horrible sin it really is. We must ask God to forgive us and surrender our thoughts to him. He can fill us with love for those of whom we have been critical. And then when a fault-finding thought comes into our head, we got to refuse to hang on to it and instead follow Paul's advice. Dwell on the fine good things in others. You find something good in somebody, just dwell on that. You know, they got a lot of bad thoughts. Well, guess what? We all do. We all have. And you've been criticized by others yourself, you know. I have. And so we just need to see the good things in other people. An old friend of mine in the past used to say, just look at the Jesus in them. which is looking at the good things in them, you know. Just look at the good things in them. And if you do, you start looking at the good points in them. It's, you know, it's surprising how quick you start to admire them once you start looking at the good points in them. You start praying for them. You start blessing them, you know, thanking God for them, you know, and then, and all that stuff will leave from you. Praise God. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah, Pat.
Right after I came to the Lord, he led me to a little church there in Oklahoma, and it was interesting. Some of the first things that he started showing me was he put a scripture in my heart there that I kind of thought about for quite a while, and it's in Proverbs 6:23, and it says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life." And then it goes on to say, "To keep thee from the evil woman," or the at that time I realized that the evil woman was, I don't know how I thought of it so early, but I realized that it was the religious system that was in the world. But the thing that hit me is that the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. In other words, I can, if I'm being corrected or receiving correction for certain things in my life, get used to it, because that's the way of life that the Lord has is bringing us through. It's where, how he's maturing us and raising up that character of Christ in us. And one of the things that he showed me that when that he brought me into this little church, and at that time, I didn't see, I have to admit, I didn't see a lot of what would attract me to the church. But the Lord made it very, very evident to me that that's where he wanted me to plug in, shall we say. And so I did, and hit the road running, so to speak. And David talks about that the church structure there is like a playpen, that you learn, you know, read the word, and you grow up and you mature until you get strong enough to crawl over the bars and leave, type of thing. I think that in my life, he used that structure because I was never in related to any kind of a religious upbringing or anything like that. I was, I guess, a total pagan, came through, Eastern mysticism and all that sort of garbage, etc., before I found the Lord. And so one of the things that was functioning in my life is that I had no concept of authority and the purpose of it or whatever. My whole goal in life basically was just to get rich and so I wouldn't have to work the rest of my life, which didn't work, but And the thing was stay out of trouble, don't get arrested, and etc. But I really had no understanding of what authority and it was really for. And I think that's why God brings us into these structures. The church is the apostate church is a bit of a, it's a structure. It is an organized structure. It obviously, it functions under, you know, one pastor at the top calling the shots. He's got a crew around him, you know, counselors or whatever, and then they all call the shots, elders, this and that and whatever. And so I learned that that was the structure that God put me under, and he did it for a particular reason. And I'd like to just share the verses when Joe was talking there. It reminded me of these verses because Joe has mentioned that he's looking for, you know, God to, you know, work in his life in a stronger way. And which I guess we all are. But the interesting thing is, if you look at James in chapter 4, verse 6, it says, he gives more grace. Wherefore the scripture saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Be subject, therefore, unto God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Be subject unto God, resist the devil. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy into heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will exalt you. And there was another one in 1 Peter chapter 5. It said, in verse 5, it says, likewise, ye younger, be subject unto the elder. Yea, all of you gird yourselves with humility to serve one another, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom withstand steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. And the Lord showed me that he put me in that structure so that I could learn to submit to authority properly, because I didn't know how to submit to authority. I quite frankly, I didn't know how to submit. And I was functioning in pride, even though it was a hidden type of pride. It was underneath. I'm not the bolstering type of person that would, you know, beat my chest and whatever, and force my way on a situation. But if somebody told me to do something and I didn't want to do it, I would either nod yes in approval, and then I just wouldn't do it. I'd just go do something else or whatever. I was probably very hard to work with. I was also very critical. I could slice somebody. Maybe there's a certain amount of wit there or whatever. I don't know. If somebody came at me, I could pretty well bat back some strategic lines that would, you know, stop the conversation, shall we say. But that was something that the Lord was trying to do in me, is to deaden that, take that out of my life. And I, wasn't there a scripture, I think somewhere in the Psalms, that I think David, he said something about if to humble yourself and look at trust in God's word, study God's word, and that you will become smarter than your teachers, or more wisdom than your teachers. Now, that's a, I'd have to go, you know, search now and go to figure out where that was at. But I think the biggest thing is he just wanted me to keep my mouth shut and learn submission. Because if we can keep our mouth shut and learn submission, God pours more grace into our lives, and it's that very grace that we need to walk with him, to walk, you know, in his word, in his truth. It's we are saved by grace through faith. And it just became it became kind of interesting how God is in not the person that's in authority as much as he is in the aspect or the principle or the law of authority, he's in that process somehow. And we can trust as these people come in our lives like that, they come in for a particular reason. God's bringing them in there to start to whittle down those things that are adverse to his spirit and his truth. He wants to bring out the life of Christ in us, but there's this Pat standing in the way with a sharp tongue, whittling people down. So one thing I just wanted to mention in Matthew, I was thinking about it in Matthew, that the story of the centurion that came to Jesus, and he came to ask for healing for his servant. And Jesus said, okay, I'll come up, I'll go with you. And it says in Matthew 8, chapter 8, verse 8, it says, and the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. And one of the interesting things about this is this guy wasn't even a Christian. I mean, he was a Roman, a pagan. But he definitely knew authority, and he knew Jesus was functioning in authority. And so he said, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man under authority. He recognized that Jesus was under authority. Even Jesus, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, he's under authority. Having under myself soldiers, and I say to this one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, truly I say to you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And this pagan demonstrated more faith that Jesus recognized than he had seen in all of Israel, simply because he understood authority and that God works through authority. And it doesn't have to be, a Christian, because the Lord uses authority. He uses the spiritual environment of authority. It is that structure that he's able to utilize and get information to you through the Spirit. And so I found it very, very heartening, especially seeing these examples that the Lord, especially talking, that I guess that the thought is Jesus told his disciples, he said, all authority is given unto me. Go ye therefore. And he didn't say all Christian authority is given to me, or he didn't say all authority in the United States or in Israel is given me. He said all authority. I use it all. And David really accentuates that and proves that in Sovereign God. It's the whole book is fulfilled with all kinds of examples of God using authority. And so I don't know if that's I guess that's all I want to say, but I just thought maybe it would be the Lord really showed me and taught me a lot through that process, even just the ability to trust that he is in the authority, even in my secular work and authorities and struggles and oppositions and things that come into my life. Jesus is over all authority. He is the one at the top, and we can be confident that he uses that authority in all. The vessels matter not to him whatsoever. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking, as I'm speaking here, I'm thinking of the example of Daniel. When Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel, God was working on Nebuchadnezzar through a couple dreams, and then the third dream, where God was going to cut him down to his pride and arrogance down and cut him off at the knees, and sent him, and Daniel came and said, God's doing this because you need to realize that God rules in the kingdoms of men. And Nebuchadnezzar evidently did not buy that, and ended up in the wilderness for another 7 years until his mind came back to him. And he then, everything that he spoke about or testified about, even in these examples of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, after every one of those incidents, he would pass some sort of a law about, you know, don't do this because Daniel's God is the God, or whatever, or Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, their God, you do not do anything against their God. But in that last time, after Nebuchadnezzar was humbled under the mighty hand of God, he came out of that with a testimony that said, I Nebuchadnezzar, now get it. God rules in the kingdoms of men. And I'm obviously murdering all of those verses there. But if you go back and read that, you'll see exactly how God just brought him through to salvation, I believe, at that very end. So that's all I wanted to say. I just wanted to encourage Joe that you're right in God's hands, guaranteed. He's bringing these bosses into your life because he's whittling there, and developing the character of Christ in you. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Yeah, he's doing it to me too. He's doing it to all of them. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We may not like it. That's okay. Once you get that word in you, you understand that it has to happen. But, you know, you start blessing these people. I can start blessing them. That's what I used to do, just bless. Lord, bless that. Sorry. No, I'm not. Lord, bless that young man. Bless that old guy, you know. He don't know what he's doing. He's lost. I left, you know, just pray for him. That's what I have to do. At first, that's what I was doing, you know. Lord, bless that old so-and-so, you know. But no, we have to bless the good in him, you know. Lord, expand that goodness in that guy. Expand his knowledge of what good and evil is. Do that. Anybody else? Yeah, Dave.
I was just looking this over where Pat just read from Matthew 8 there about the centurion. It's interesting. This guy was a Gentile. He came to Jesus, asked for help for his servant. He believed Jesus could heal him. Didn't have to have him come to his house like Jesus was going to. But I found Jesus was very accommodating this whole time also. And he just worked with the man's faith. So he didn't say, well, wait a minute, you're not a son of Abraham. I mean, I don't see the blood connection. He didn't say that. He just worked, oh, you got faith. Okay, that's what I'm working with. And he told him at the end. He said, go thy way as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. And his servant was healed in that hour. So we're seeing the Abrahamic covenant working through this Gentile. And Jesus was initially sent for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but he's reaching out to those of faith already. He's not holding himself only to the house of Israel first and then letting them go later. It's because they weren't receiving him as their savior. Jesus is right there on the spot to work with this guy, even though he has no upbringing probably in Christianity or, you know, back then Judaism, and basically maybe what he only came in contact with. I don't know, we don't really have enough information on this guy, but it's interesting that Jesus was just right there to work with him. And he would have went right to the guy's house. Had said, okay, yeah, come. Jesus would have walked with him. But he showed more faith by saying, no, Lord, that's great, you know. I just receive your word. It's your word. And so, wow, that floored Jesus because, you know, he didn't expect that, which is cool. And he told him right up front, hey, wow, this is awesome. You know, I don't see this faith out of the sons of Abraham. The kingdom here with those are appointed for this. I don't even see that faith coming out of them, but I'm seeing it coming out of you. This is what I want. It was really fascinating me that he was ready to go out of his way with the Gentile, and he wasn't. That was not initially his ministry, but he thought, and the conversation just bloomed right into this great idea that this is a son of Abraham here because he's walking by faith.
Amen. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
And we're supposed to be sons of God. When Pat was reading that verse from Proverbs 6, you know, I kind of like what it also says in Proverbs 6:22. This is what we should expect from our Lord. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. And of course, he's talking about the commandments of the father and the mother, you know, and to continually put them upon thine heart and about thy neck, and and to keep these commandments, not as these people would have done it out of law, but out of love. And that's what it says in 1 John 5:3. And that you're given this faith. Jesus said, have God's faith. In another place, it says, in whom we have boldness and confidence with his faith there in Ephesians 3:12. And I just missed a few words there on that one. Anyway, when he said that verse in 6, and I was going, oh yeah, I've got that. There's a verse there I've highlighted, and it was just the one right in front of the one that Pat has, and it's just so cool how you know you hear from the tempter enough, so why should not we hear from the Lord in our daily lives, you know? And I think we get tempted even more than the people in denominationalism, because we're not in there. We know their error. And because we know their error, and we're not going to have conflict with them, that means our temptation is going to be upped a bit to keep us in line and to keep us focused, because the powers of darkness know that is not what we're going to join. We're joined to Christ now, and we have a knowledge now and a base in Christ that we can see through some of these errors. So I think these temptations have picked up for that, but where these temptations pick up also, the relief from the Lord picks up for us too. And that's what I got out of some of these verses that have been just spoken here. And I think that's a great encouragement from the Lord. I want to be around the encouraging person, the person who encourages me and encourages me. And it's not you guys. It's the Lord in you that encourages me. So praise to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. All glory to the Lord.
Amen. Yes, it is. All glory to the Lord. Pat, I was looking up. I thought it was in 119. Psalms 119:99 said, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have kept thy precepts. And I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might observe thy word. So that's I believe that's the one you were referring to earlier. Okay. Yeah, well, that's right. We put it into practice, and a lot of times we'll surpass our teacher. Praise God. Okay, anybody else got a comment on what we've been talking about tonight? I think Judy and Sue are fixing to do something. No. Well, okay. All right. Well, let me relate a testimony here, and this might help. Does anybody here got a little lack in their money situation? Listen up. And I know the other night Sharon did. And again, this is out of Bringing Heaven into Hell by Merlin Carruthers. Listen to what happened. He said, a man wrote me to say that he had worked very hard all his life to make ends meet, but somehow his bills always exceeded his paycheck. Anybody got that problem or had that problem? Working overtime did no good, and he lived with a growing fear that one day he would not be able to keep up with the demands of his creditors. Someone gave him a book on praise, and it caused him to see that there was something wrong with the way he was trying to cope with the situation. He determined to praise God for every bill and sat down to write a check for the most urgent one. And they say, I looked at that little piece of paper in front of me and said, thank you, God, for this bill. Bless the check and people who receive it. It occurred to him that stamps and envelopes had cost money too. So he asked God to bless the people from whom he had bought them. Then he noticed the lamp on his desk and said, God bless the people who send me the electric bill. How many of you ever done that? This guy was doing it. Next, he asked God to bless the people who held the mortgage on his house and those who had received the money for the desk and chair in which he was sitting. Those who collected my taxes needed blessings too, he wrote. And on I went, and I suddenly realized that always before I had cursed these people for taking my money. Now I felt really grateful for that first check ready to go in the mail. Asking God to bless it had lifted my gloom and my worries. Within a week, the man got a letter back from that first creditor stating that they had made a mistake on their bill. He did not owe them any money. They owed him. In the letter was his own check back and another one made out for the same amount. Nothing like that had ever happened before. He prayed for wisdom to use the money and realized that the two checks put together would make a nice dent in an old debt. He had received several letters reminding him what he owed, so he knew his money would not be returned this time. Off went his check with another. Bless him, Lord, bless him. By return mail came a letter from the company asking him to come down to their store so that they could give him a special prize since he had been the first to respond to their recent letter. He had not received any correspondence from them recently and thought the invitation was a gimmick to get him to buy something more now that he was paying on his old bill. Then he remembered how he had gotten the money to pay the bill in the first place and decided to go to the store after all. A polite secretary explained that they had offered special prizes to anyone who paid on an account a year or more overdue. He had been the first, and they asked permission to take his picture and record the ceremony in the local newspaper to encourage others to pay their bills. Come on now, what was the prize? The man nearly fell over when they told him, 10 times the amount you paid on your bill. Now, how come I couldn't get some of them kind of letters? Now, I had 20 times the amount for which I wrote the first check. I took the new check and went home to ask God to bless it. There were several other bills that needed to be paid, and I asked for wisdom to know how to use the money. The answer shook me. I felt God wanted me to give it away. How many of you know that's not the answer you're looking for? That would not help my situation at all, he said. I was still in debt. But no matter how I prayed, all I could think of was give it away. Finally, the man called his pastor and said he had a gift for the church. When he mentioned the amount, the pastor thanked him for responding so quickly to the need. He said, what need? He said, the one I announced in church last Sunday for that exact amount. The man had not been in church that Sunday and had not heard about the pastor's plea. Now he was convinced that God was in charge of his money. He continued to ask his blessing on every bill and every check he wrote. In the letter to me, he enclosed a substantial donation to our prison ministry and concluded by saying that God prospered him in everything, so that he was now looking for new ways to invest what God has given him. That's an awesome, awesome testimony to God's goodness to speak as an oracle of God, right? Amen. Bless that electric company down there, Lord, that's getting all my hard-earned money. Bless his food, Lord, that I have to give to the grocery store. You know, and just go on and on. I'm not going to say that that's going to work for you, but if you believe it and you want to do what God wants you to do, try it out. See what happens. Amen. That's a good story, isn't it? That's a good testimony to God's goodness to us. You know, it's amazing when you get started on something like that, to the extent you'll take it. This guy took it to the least little thing. He kept blessing, you know. That's awesome. And God just kept multiplying his money. I guess Sue's got her hand up. Yeah, go ahead, Sue.
Yeah, this is a little bit different, but it's a different scenario, but it's still how the Lord blesses when we do what we're supposed to do. Years ago, when I was in the Charismatic, my husband and I, when we were in the Charismatic, the pastor offered a bunch of people to get into an investment that would help us make money, you know, to get some interest built up and stuff. And it sounded like a sound investment. So my husband and I, we contributed over, it was over $5,000, but we contributed to that. And I don't remember. I think we had left the care. We had it in there for a few years, but we ended up leaving the Charismatic Church because the Lord wanted us to go elsewhere. And we had heard that this company had folded or something, and that people were not going to get their money back. And there was a bunch of people that was in this Charismatic group that invested money, and we did, of course. So both Al and I, my husband, he had said, we need to ask the Lord to forgive us for not using, you know, his money, not being a good steward, using his money improperly. And we just kind of gave it up and said, Lord, you know, we don't know if we'll ever get it back, but we just thank you for, you know, forgiving us, because we did this, we shouldn't have done that, you know. And I don't know if it was a couple years later or something, we got the exact amount back from this company. No interest was even put into it, which we didn't care. We already gave it up. We gave it up because we figured we wouldn't ever get anything back, and nobody else was getting anything back. And then a couple years later, we get this money. It's like, wow, you know, Lord, you know, he's faithful, you know, even when we're not. You know, but he, you know, he received our repentance, and I mean, he didn't have to bring it back to us, but he did. So we were really humbled and blessed by that. You know, we didn't expect that. So even if we do something wrong, you know, and we repent for it, you know, the Lord can still work if he wants to. Amen. That's it.
Can you press up here and press?
All right. That's a good testimony. Got it all back. Let me tell you something about, of course, you all know that. Don't invest in anything that the Lord doesn't want you to invest in. Now, don't get me wrong, just like Sue and them, he returned it because they asked him to, and they were just resting in the Lord that he would do it, and whatever, you know. Lord, you can either do it or not. But before you do, it's always wise to ask the Lord if that's what he wants you to invest in. Amen. All right. Anybody got any thoughts on blessing your checks as they go out to the people that they go out to? All right. What else y'all want to talk about? Where is Sharon at? We can talk about some stuff she wanted to talk about the other night. That little story there would help her, where she was one that was asking for some financial help the other night from the Lord. Just thank him. Thank him for it. Amen. Tom was a tall and exceptionally good-looking high school student. I love these testimonies. Y'all listen up. This is a good one. This is humbling you. This will humble you. Tom was a tall and exceptionally good-looking high school student. His unusually broad shoulders and magnificent physique made him the envy of nearly every boy who knew him. He was a star athlete who won every competition he entered. His parents were Christians, but from his sophomore year, Tom slowly drifted away from his own faith. He was convinced he didn't need God. His own strength and skill made him both feared and admired by other students. By the time Tom became a senior, he was a heavy, weekend drinker and a bully who enjoyed pushing others around. He made his money by fixing up old cars and selling them for a high profit. And his goal in life was to be a big shot. Already, his picture was featured regularly in the sports pages of the newspapers. Tom was a star football player, champion wrestler, and swimmer. Early one morning, he was on his way home after an all-night party. His little Volkswagen convertible was going too fast down the freeway when Tom nodded behind the wheel and the car spun out of control and went over a 300-foot cliff. At the hospital, the cuts on Tom's face and back were stitched, along with a deep gash in his skull. No bones were broken, but he was in a deep coma, and tests revealed severe brain and brainstem damage. A team of surgeons operated, but held little hope for complete recovery. In the meantime, Tom's parents and family, their pastors and Christian in churches near and far, joined in committing Tom and his future into God's hands. The parents were firm in their faith that God would heal their son. Tom himself hung between unconsciousness and semi-consciousness for several weeks. When he was awake, he recognized his parents, but his memory was gone, and he could only speak a few halting words. The doctors felt doubtful that he would ever regain the full use of his mind or his left side. Tom spent 5 weeks in a rehabilitation ward, learning to sit up by himself, to eat, even to stand for a few minutes. But his mind was that of a small child. Snatches of memory were coming back, but everything he had learned before was gone. Still, the prayers continued. His parents held to their belief that God was healing Tom, and they rejoiced as they brought him home. Now began a long, persistent struggle for Tom to relearn what he had once known. Encouraged by his parents, he started exercising, weightlifting, running, and then swimming. At first, he stumbled and fell whenever he tried to run because one leg was weaker than the other. In the swimming pool, he first splashed the water with his hands and giggled like a small child. When he tried to swim, he sank to the bottom and his father had to pull him out. But slowly, Tom was regaining some of his physical abilities, but his mind was still operating on the fifth grade level, and he had a poor recall of the past. His parents told him he could make it if he learned to rely on Christ's strength instead of his own. Tom agreed. Now began a series of humiliating experiences for the former star athlete. Tom was allowed back on the swimming team, but he had to work hard just to complete the race instead of winning it. In wrestling, he was thrown to the floor by guys much smaller than himself. He was accepted back on the football team by his old coach and teammates. who admired his persistence, but everything he had once known about football was forgotten. His old rough friends laughed at his clumsiness. When he was admitted to junior college, he was at the very bottom of his class. But it was through those humiliating experiences that the presence of Jesus became real to Tom. In his own helplessness, he discovered that the strength of Jesus was something reliable. "I've learned to put Jesus first," he says. "And I have learned that just as I need a coach and a team to become a good athlete, I also need a teacher and fellowship to grow in Christ. Athletic games have rules, and often the coach has to explain them over and over before I finally can apply the principle to the game. As Christians, we have the big coach and the big rule book. Some things in there I don't know how to apply to life, but the big coach patiently explains it to me. And I know that one day I will understand more of it. Tom is doing well in school today. Instead of the clumsy searching for words, he expresses himself clearly. He spends much time working with young people in the church and is much admired and loved for his quiet, kind disposition. He is very different. He is very different from the rough bully he once was. "I almost died," he says, "but God gave me real life. Before I had everything I thought I wanted, I was big and strong and successful. I got everything I reached out for, and I woke up every morning wondering what I could do to make me enjoy that day more. I was a winner in the eyes of the world, but it was by losing that I became a real winner. God took away everything to show me that only He can give me what is really important. I have learned that the secret of life is in receiving from God rather than in trying to take what you can get." Tom does not find it difficult to agree with David, who wrote, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." When God breaks our bones, it's because He wants us to discover the joy and gladness we find when we rely on His strength. Shifting from our own strength to God's does not come easy to any of us. We might rely on Him in one area, but not in another. Or we trust Him more in some things than in others. Turning ourselves over to Him completely is a lifetime process. We think we've done it, and up pops that old ego, still trying to run the show our old way. You know, it's easier to say the Lord is my strength than to live that way. Well, that's true. He goes on and gives his testimony about some things that he did. There's some things in here I wanted to get over here too. He says, how do we get to the point where God is all our strength? As long as we use our own strength, God cannot use His through us. Only when we surrender our strength will we discover what David meant when he said, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee." Our own strength is only a false illusion. Still, we cling to it and hate to give it up. If we want God to be our strength, we must be able to say to Him, "I surrender all my own strength to You. From now on, I want You to be my only strength." And if you say that and find yourself getting more and more tired praise God. He's letting you wear out your own strength. And when it's all gone, and every bit of your strength is gone, you'll be where you ought to be, dependent on God for everything. At last, then you can say with David, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. You know, we could flippantly say, I just surrender it all to you, Lord. I surrender all my life to you, Lord. Every portion of my life, every little old hidden corner of my life, I give to you, Lord, and allow you to do whatever it is you need to do until the time comes when something goes crazy in your life. And then you want to pick it up and do it yourself. But then you remember, I surrendered it all to Jesus. And if I surrendered it all to Jesus, why am I trying to walk it out? Why don't I just sit back and rest and let God do this work in me instead of trying to do it ourselves? That's the problem. We want to surrender it all. And then when those circumstances come up in our life, well, Lord, I need to take care of it right now. I need to take it. No, you don't either. He brought them there for a reason, didn't he? He brought them there for a reason. And that reason was to mature us, to rest in him. When those people come up against me, you know, all kinds of accusations and all kinds of stupid things that they say, you know, you just sit there and take it. You just sit there and take it. And then, you know, just pray for them. Then you're starting to overcome. It's when we, well, Lord, you just don't understand, you know, this, you just don't understand what all this. Well, yeah, he does. He brought them up to you to get rid of that understanding that you have and to give you his understanding. His understanding is to die. That's what he wants us to do. He wants our flesh to die. And when our flesh dies, we're walking like Jesus said. Every time you kill that flesh, more Jesus comes out in you. And the next thing you know, you're going to be shining light. You're going to be that tower, that beacon of light that God wants in each one of us. And people are going to say, hey, man, what is that about you? I want that. You'll be able to tell them, it's Jesus. All Christians who love Jesus have this beacon of light. They shine in the darkness. Amen. Anybody else? I want to surrender my life. And we say that, Lord, I want to surrender every portion of my life to you. And I give it, I lay it on the altar to you. And Lord, help me not to pick it back up again. Help me not to pick it back up again. You're going to have to do this thing with me, Lord. Matter of fact, you're going to have to lead me into doing it. You'll do it. I learned a valuable lesson over the last week or so. I learned that people in your family can become idols to the point to where it's hindering your walk with Jesus. And that really humbled me when the Lord told me that. You know, he kept telling me through some other people, you know, that words that they were getting, you know, oh no, I gave it to Jesus. I gave it to Jesus, you know. But then when I asked him, he told me, yeah, you got idol. That humbled me.
I guess I'm curious, how do you mean your grandson was your idol? Because I know we have loved ones, you know. I love my family members too, but
An idol is something that you want more than the will of God. Right? That's what an idol is. More than you want what the will of God is. Instead of stepping back and saying, Lord, whatever your will is, I give it to you. I give it to you. And but I was, you know, I was looking for, I'd call, you know, one or two people to get a word and see what's going on here. I want him to come back. And that was an idol. And God was getting rid of that idol. And I'm not saying that he won't show up again. I don't know. God's, you know, he can do anything. But all I'm saying is I'm now in the rest. Whatever God's will is, that's what's going to happen. And I thank him for showing it to me because it was hindering my walk.
I mean, I was hesitant to say anything, you know, because like I said, I'd want to be one of Job's friends because you don't know how to approach anything like this and say anything good or bad and that you want to hurt anybody's feelings. Because, you know, I even with my mother, when she died last year, I don't know if she really went to heaven because she had so much unforgiveness on her heart. She was even to her on her deathbed that very week. She was, you know, rambling on about Trump because she didn't. She was, you know, she was. But so, you know, you try to bring people into the kingdom, you know, best you can, and talk about unforgiveness and or whatever, you know, the situation might be for our loved ones. But you know. And I can say it up front because I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I love my mom. I still love her dearly. She was a great mother. I mean, she had people had their faults. They had their weaknesses and they had their things that, you know, they didn't overcome in their life. I didn't see it. as much as you want things to happen good. And you don't want to talk. And when somebody just dies, you don't want to say, "Oh, well, I don't." You know, you don't really know what to say. You know, on selling things like that. Yeah. I can talk about my mom like that because I know, and I can just be right up front about it. You know, and as much as I wanted her to have the better things of life, and you know, overcome these things in her life and move things on, because she was divorced from my dad, and that didn't set well and burned her whole life, but. And I got all this rejection and anger from her most of my life, you know, and it took me a long time to get over that. Because they, you know, but you're thinking, oh, you want them to overcome, but you don't see it happen. What do you say? Oh, I see mom in heaven. I don't know. I mean, you're hoping, you're praying, but, you know.
I don't know. Well, that's... I don't know, David. I know this. I don't put God in the box anymore. Your mom might have repented right at the last moment. I don't know. You know, Austin might have done the same thing. I don't know. It's not for me, you know, to say. All I'm doing is claiming household salvation. That's what I'm doing. I'm claiming household salvation, and Lord promises that. And if he wants to bring him back, I don't, you know, it's not my part. He's God.
Right. I wasn't trying to speak evil on anything. That wasn't my intent at all.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. No, none taken.
I just had those, my own personal feelings about things, too. I didn't know, you know, so I just kind of, like, okay.
Yeah. Well, see, I'd always envisioned Blake and Austin both being in the ministry with me, you know. You know how that goes. You know, you got your grandsons going with you, you know. Bless God, you know, we're going to go out and change the world, you know. Now, God wants us to be humbled. He wants us to be humbled to him. It's like we just got through reading in that book. He wants us to surrender all. And it's not going to happen overnight. I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to happen overnight. He gets a little bit here and he gets a little bit there. And finally, next thing you know, you're like this guy who was humbled finally with a car wreck. Took him out. He had to climb back with the help of God. And that's what God wants. He wants him to be the focus instead of us. When we take us out of the way and put him in the front, that's when you're going to start seeing stuff. You know, I've got another grandson, his twin brother, that I just told the Lord. I said, Lord, I can't do it. It's up to you, but I'm believing in household salvation for him too. And y'all have the same thing. You got family members that you're believing for too. But don't try to force it on them. Just pray and thank God that he's doing that work. Okay, anybody else?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Joel.
I've had this for about a week. It just keeps coming back to me. Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And I can't get past it. It just, it'll either be finally that keeps hitting me, or it'll be being strong in the Lord, but or his might. It just reminds me that to magnify him and get my eyes off myself, and victory has already been won. We're celebrating what he's already done. The more I remember that the promises are past tense, and there's so much joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, that's our strength. His strength is everything he did for us, his love for us. And if I can start thinking about his, you know, the facets of all that he is and magnify him, then I've got a promise, I've got a covenant, I've got all these names of the Lord that come to me. And you can get a lot out of just a couple of words sometimes.
Yes, you can. You sure can. And I like what Denny said Tuesday night. It's all done by faith. We all just have to believe that God's doing that in us. And like he said, just walk, look at yourself in the mirror and say, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. I'm going to be Jesus, you just lead me today and teach me what you need me to know. And let me speak as an oracle of God. Every time I open up my mouth, let me speak as an oracle of God. And bless folks. Instead of, quit cursing them. Quit cursing them. Well, I'll tell you what, I was so, after being with a bunch of people that speak curses every time they open up their mouth, you know. We've learned by being around other like-minded believers to speak as an oracle of God and not to speak curses upon ourselves and upon other people. And then when you get in amongst no believers, and all they do is, like Andrew was talking about at the bus stop, well, just picture that about 10 times as many people, you know, and all of them speaking curses all around you, and you're trying to believe, you know. But we finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. He says we have the blessings of heaven available to us, all the blessings of heaven available to us. Well, first thing we've got to do is get rid of self first. Allow the Lord to get rid of self out of us. And the more we let him kill self, the more Jesus comes out. And so next thing you know, when you walk out the door, you're going to be walking like Jesus. You're going to be doing the things that Jesus did. We all are. And just like we talked about authority, Patrick was talking about authority. If we could envision that authority that God has available to us, boy, it'd blow our mind. We're going to see that. You know, I'm reminded of Robert Sheridan. Some of you probably heard that name, know who I'm talking about. He went to heaven. The Lord took him to heaven. And he saw this great big warehouse, and there were vines growing over it. And he said, Lord, what is that? He said, that's the blessings for my people that they they believe for, and then they quit at the wrong time, too soon believing for it. They quit too soon believing for it. And it was full of body parts, all kinds of body parts that people have believed for, and yet they quit believing before they didn't endure in their faith to the end. So we need to understand that God's got all this stuff available to us. This walk that he's got us, that's available to us. The power, the Holy Spirit's guidance, that's the big thing right there, is allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us and teach us what the Word says. It's like George was, he just locked in on a couple of words, finally and strong. Finally, and be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Boy, if you take it, man, you could take it. Man, you could go to town with that one verse right there. Okay, I'm going to quit talking. Somebody else talk. What do you think, Willie? I can always count on you because I know you're sitting there meditating about something.
Yeah. Finally be strong and in the power. Finally be strong and in the power of his might. You know, don't let it confuse you. What is the power of his might? Christ. You know, when we look at the word of God, it's the power of his might. How has God always demonstrated the power of his might? By his word, you know, he created all things. And by his word, he created the heavens and the earth. What power and what might are we looking for? And what demonstration of that power are we depending on to perform it? The Holy Spirit. You know, finally be strong. He says, finally, you know, now you hear all this word, you know, sum it up in all of this, you know, be strong in all that you heard and in the power of the might of all that you heard, you know. John said, no new commandment I give unto you, but an old commandment that ye love one another, even as I have loved you, or that you love one another. So part of the power of his might is demonstrated in our lives is, do we love the word? Do we love the word? You know, or are we still having a lot of conflict with the word? You know, are we still having a lot of rebellion against the word? You know, are we still holding a lot of secret sins that are hindering the word of God? You know, are we looking for that 5-step method in order for some great power of the Holy Spirit to be poured out upon our lives? You know, the man in whom he said, you know, God bless this person that's sending me these bills, you know, bless this person that controls my electricity. Too often I got caught up in, oh, there's a method for me to God to pour out all of his blessings on me. I would always look for some 5-step quick method. When the Holy Spirit inspires you to do something, be strong. You know, it says, this is led by the Holy Spirit. That man was led by the Holy Spirit. And he blessed everyone in whom his life was involved with. You know, you had the people who sold, you know, one had 10, one had 5, one had 1. And in everyone that they were involved with in their life, you know, they exchanged, you know, they gave the word of God, you know, they went forth in that strength and in the power of his might, and it became very fruitful, except for that one who took it and buried, you know, underneath, you know, flesh. I was afraid. You know, fear doesn't allow you to be.
There you are.
Sorry about that. A call came through. Hey, I'm gonna have to get back to you. Ooh. Okay, sorry about that. But yeah, finally be strong, you know. It's the power of his might. He said, you know, stay in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. men arrayed in white. This same Jesus, you saw him as a man, whom you saw ascend into heaven, you know, not transfigured, not shining forth in glory, you know, shall return in like manner, you know. And so he did. He came in strength and power of and in power and in might upon all of them, you know, through the Holy Spirit, you know. And so the word of God, you know, is our strength, our power, our might, you know. In order to obey the word, we need, you know, the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit, you know. Body without the Spirit is dead. You know, we read that. And so us, can you imagine it without the Holy Spirit? You know, I'm not a very obedient person. I really do need the Holy Spirit, you know, because without it, you know, I'm gonna avoid the word. You know, I'm going to go do what I want to do. You know, this new creature, my whole entire substance is sustained by the word of God. Or I'm not going to do what God tells me to do. You know, it's only been by the word of God, you know, that my heart has been changed and I paid any attention whatsoever, you know, to Jesus Christ. But I thank God for it, you know. There's, how can I put it? There's a lot of reasons, and there's a lot of things we make up, you know, and a lot of excuses that we follow, you know, for us not to be strong, you know. One time, you know, the Lord told me to go do something. I had every excuse in the book, you know, my flesh had every excuse in the book, so I pulled a quarter out of my pocket. I said, Lord, you know, should I go and pray for such and such? And I flipped that quarter. This time I said it backwards. I said, tails, I go. Heads, I don't. You know? And so when I flip a quarter, you know, I can have a quarter on heads and it'll land on heads. If I flip a quarter, it's on tails, it'll land on tails. And so I don't know how I do it. It's weird. But I flipped that quarter, you know, didn't try to pay too much attention what side it was on, and it landed on tails. I was like, all right, let me go pray. And it was the most pleasant praying time, you know. A time, you know, the Holy Spirit had me bless each person in such a unique way. So it is better, it is far better to obey the Spirit, you know, than to obey men, you know, or your own flesh, or your own thoughts, or your own imaginations. Whenever your imaginations and your thoughts and your flesh scream out against the word, whenever the adversary is bringing up many temptations, then you know you should probably do it. Or you know you should probably shouldn't do it. But yeah, praise God. Amen. That's all I got to say.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Denny, you got anything you'd like to add?
Excuse me. I don't know. I know when Pat was talking and Joel about authority and learning authority. There's just the one aspect of authority is that that's really important is because God has invested so much in those people, you know, those in authority, he has invested himself into them. Because of that, they have the ability or the power to bless you. So being underneath them, you know, is in submitting to their authority, it's there for your blessing. That, you know, God will use them to bring the blessing to you because of the authority they have. And I just, that was, you know, I thought that was just good what Pat and them shared. So, amen.
Amen. That's true. Yep. David's got 45 years of nothing but the Bible. I'm telling you, you know, a lot of people don't know that that man stays in that word all the time. He's in it all the time, most of the time. I live here with him, and he's in the word all the time, except when we're cutting up. But most of the time, he's in the Word. All right, anybody else? We still got just a few minutes left. Any question? Any thoughts on next Tuesday night? Let's kind of get in the Word this weekend and try to let the Lord talk with, just like George was talking about, that one verse, you know. We've done that before. Take a verse and just run with it, you know. And the Lord just blesses us with all of these different revelations. And maybe we can do that next Tuesday night. Somebody gets a verse that just really opened up to you over the weekend. So maybe we can do that. Anybody got anything they'd like to pray about before we close out here tonight? Well, Father, Lord, I thank you for your Word. It is light, and we learn a lot from it, Lord. That's the life that we live, is learning more and more about life, because your Word is light and light. And Lord, I ask that you open up your Word even more to everybody in this room tonight, over the weekend, that we would come together and talk about, you know, Lord, I've seen this happen time and time again. Just give everybody a word that relates to every word, every verse that we come with Tuesday night would relate to the other one, and that would tell us something that you're trying to tell us, Lord. And I ask you to do that, Father, in the name of Jesus, and every one of us. I've seen that happen time and time again here locally, Lord. And I know you can do it with our fellowship. You've done it before. And, Father, I praise you for that. I thank you, Lord, for helping us to surrender all to you, Lord, humbling us to the point of where we don't even like ourselves. We just want you, Lord. We just want nothing but you in our lives. Lord, I know that we stumble here and we stumble there, but I thank you for your grace and your mercy upon our lives. Because if it wasn't for that grace and that mercy, we'd all be zapped out of here before we knew it. But your grace and your mercy, Lord, you kept us on this road. You've kept us on this highway of holiness, walking it out. And Lord, I thank you for delivering us of all of this, these things that have hindered us in the past. I thank you, Lord, for showing us this darkness that might be still laying around in our heart, Lord, so that we can repent of it and get rid of it. Lord, let us be vessels that you can use in a mighty, mighty way here shortly, Lord, for this revival is coming, so that we can teach other people how to be disciples of you, Lord, in a humble way. And I thank you, Father, for providing for us, protecting us, and giving us these revelations out of your Word. I thank you, Lord, for all my brothers and sisters that are in this teleconference outreach. And I ask, Lord, that you bless them in a mighty way with your Holy Spirit. Just fill us all up with your Holy Spirit, Lord. That overcoming power that the Holy Spirit has and that he gives in his Lord. When we just ask, and all we have to do is ask. Father, I ask that you fill us up in the name of Jesus. And let us be so ever so vigilant to renew that infilling every day. And Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that next times we come together, Lord, that there's going to be some great testimonies of your goodness in their lives, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody. And bless you. Yeah, let's see if I can unmute everybody. All right. Bless y'all. Good night.
Amen. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Love you.
Hey.